Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 14th of October. I am Paul White. I'm glad you're with me today as we are working on the Psalms, looking at them through a New Covenant lens. I arrived today at one of my favorite Psalms, the 22nd, and one of the reasons why it's one of my favorite is that when I was writing my second book, Between the Pieces, it was one of those chapters that drew me in to help me frame the cross in a way that few other chapters can. It's right there as in regards to Old Testament passages, it's right there with Isaiah 53, in my opinion, which is the great chapter of what we consider the great chapter of crucifixion. He's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. When we read Isaiah 53, we can't help but see Jesus. It is the Jesus chapter. Psalms 22 should do the same thing to us. And not only because it obviously has a suffering servant and there's a death involved, but because it is so widely quoted from the New Testament. Now, it's not unusual for a psalm to be quoted by the New Testament. In fact, the New Testament quotes the book of Psalms constantly. And one of the more underrated moments is Paul's letter to the Romans, in which Paul quotes, I think I've counted in the teens, the number of psalms and passages from psalms that Paul quotes, most of them psalms of lament, which makes sense. Why wouldn't you quote psalms of lament to a church suffering beneath the iron fist of the Roman Empire, the church at Rome? You would cry out those psalms of lament. Well, Psalms 22 is a psalm of David. It is a psalm that is quoted repeatedly in the Gospels, namely the very first verse. Then it's quoted by the Apostle John specifically, uniquely. It's quoted by the book of Hebrews to try to make Jesus and the followers of Jesus, to put them on familial terms, that they are brethren. It contains the most pointed verse to me, to show us what was and wasn't happening on the cross, overlooked, by the way, we'll get to that. And then it contains a phrase in the Hebrew that gets mirrored at the cross in a way that needs a little more investigation. I don't know how long we'll be in Psalm 22. I kind of feel like I can do it in one day. I really can't do it in one day, but I feel like I will try, and we'll see where we are. It starts off with one of the most famous verses in the Bible. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now remember, this is David writing to God. It's not Jesus writing to God. So when David writes it, he's having some problems. Why are you so far from helping me? Why are you far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry in the daytime, but you don't hear, and in the night season, and am not silent, but you're holy. And so he comes back to, look, I miss you. I'm suffering in the day and the night. People don't like me. People are mocking me. We don't know exactly when David writes this, but he's definitely at a sad place. On the cross, Jesus cries, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is Aramaic, though he could have said it in Hebrew as well, who knows, but it's written in Aramaic, and it's a reference back to Psalm 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? That has caused people to say that in the moment of maximum danger, in the darkest hour, Jesus had his separation moment from God, and that he and God were no longer, for lack of better terms, were no longer on speaking terms. Why? Because Jesus is carrying our sin, and God can't look upon sin. I cannot disagree more with that theology. I do not think that God separated himself from Jesus at the point where Jesus needs him the most. In fact, I think the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:19 disagrees with the theology that Jesus was separate from God. He says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. God doesn't divide himself from Jesus when Jesus becomes a sin sacrifice. God is in Christ reconciling the whole world back to himself. So why does Jesus cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think it's because if you read Psalm 22, you're going to realize that Jesus is the man in that chapter. And if Jesus is the man in that chapter, then the report that is out on him is not right. Remember Isaiah, when it talks about Jesus dying on the cross, what we call the Jesus dying on the cross chapter, Isaiah 53, he starts with, "Whom shall believe our report?" Why does he say that? Because the report given by the high priest when Jesus dies on the cross is, this man is a blasphemer. This man has mocked God by calling him, making himself equal with God. And according to Torah, anything that hangs on a tree is cursed of God. So this man is hanging on a tree. He is cursed of God. That's the report. But the report is not correct. The real report is, he's wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him. Jesus starts to sing on the cross. That's what the Psalms are. And his first line is the first line of a song. Just like if you sing the first line of a lot of songs, people around you would know the song and begin to sing along. And if they knew the song, they might read on down into the song and they would hear things like this. Verse 14. I'm poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You've brought me to the dust of death. Remember, Jesus is, when his heart is pierced, blood and water flows. Jesus is thirsty on the cross. 16, dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count my bones. They look and stare at me. Remember, Jesus has nails put in his hands and his feet. Listen to 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. John quotes this in the Gospel of John, that they gambled for Jesus' clothes at the foot of the cross. What does this mean? It means that Psalms 22 is trying to point the reader to the reality that Jesus dying on the cross is prophesied by God. And then this, 24, he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. Look at that. God did not hide his face from Jesus. When Jesus cried, God heard. Why? Because God was there. That's the whole point. It's not a separation, Jesus separate from his Father. It's Jesus with his Father. There's one more big thing I want to bring out, but I want a podcast to do it. We'll do it tomorrow. See you then. God bless.